Hi, everyone, and thanks for listening to the SearchWindowsSecurity.com podcast, discussing what's hot in the Windows security world for December 2007. I'm Dave Nielsen, Assistant Site Editor for SearchWindowsSecurity.com. Joining me today is Brian Posey. Brian has previously received Microsoft's Most Valuable Professional Award 4 times for his work with Windows Server, IIS, and Exchange Server. He has served as CIO for a nationwide chain of hospitals and healthcare facilities and was once a network administrator for Fort Knox. How are you today, Brian?
Good. Thanks, Dave.
All right, so let's get right into it. Last month, Microsoft published an overview of the 2007 Microsoft Office Security Guide. According to the guide, it is designed to help admins make changes to the default configurations of desktop and laptop computers that run the 2007 Office release in Active Directory environments. What other helpful info can admins expect to find in this guide?
Well, the guide includes information about how to deploy recommended security settings for 2 different types of environments. One type of environment is what Microsoft calls enterprise client environments. This is basically just Microsoft speak for a normal corporate deployment. The other type of environment is called a specialized security limited functionality environment. This refers to organizations in which security is more important than functionality, such as would be the case for systems handling highly classified information. The guide talks about how you can use group policy settings and other mechanisms to achieve these types of configurations. You can download the Microsoft Office 2007 Security Guide at www.microsoft.com/technet/security/guidance/client/security/2007office/security-guide/default.mspx.
Also in November, eWeek produced a report claiming that tens of thousands of malware serving pages have been released, designed specifically to rank highly in search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft Live. How real is this threat to Windows admins, and how much damage can be caused?
Well, according to a recent article, Sunbelt Software recently discovered dozens of domains that were each hosting thousands of web pages whose sole purpose was to hijack common search engine queries. These pages were highly optimized so as to achieve very high search engine rankings. The end result is that even innocent searches often return multiple first-page results that actually point to malicious sites. Many, but not all, of the searches had to do with things that would be of interest to IT admins, such as codecs, Excel spreadsheets, or firmware upgrades. For example, a researcher for Sunbelt Software was recently searching for the term Netgear ProSafe and found a first-page result that pointed to a fake codec. Not all of these malicious web pages are IT-related, though. For example, there are hundreds of malicious web pages that are designed to take advantage of search engine queries based on the word hospice, of all things. Sunbelt Software has contacted Google about the problem and offered assistance to other search engines, including Yahoo and Microsoft Live. For now, though, users will simply have to be much more careful about the search engine results that they choose to click on. In my opinion, this is a very serious issue because of the amount of damage that could potentially result. Malicious web pages and Trojans that are disguised as legitimate files are certainly nothing new. In the past, though, someone typically had to stumble onto a phishing site or wander into the web's red light district to have a good chance of encountering these types of pages. What makes this problem so serious is that we're talking about malicious pages being listed as first page results for common search engine queries. The number of people that could fall victim to this scam is mind-boggling.
We're shifting to internet security now. Mozilla's Firefox was once known for being much more secure than Microsoft's Internet Explorer, but lately that seems to be changing, as evidenced by another recently released security fix for Firefox. Could you tell us a little bit about this security update and how it will affect Windows admins?
Sure. On November 27th, Mozilla released a new security patch version for the popular web browser 2.0.0.10. The latest update included fixes for 3 security bugs. By far the most important of these fixes involved a patch that prevents cross-site scripting attacks. Prior to the fix, administrators could create sites that load pages that had been archived in ZIP format or in Java archive format. However, Firefox couldn't identify the true source of the Java archive content. The reason why this is a problem is because many web applications allow ZIP files or Java archive files to be uploaded. This would make it simple for an attacker to create a Trojan and upload it to the web. An attacker could simply create a malicious web page, then place the page into a ZIP or a Java archive file and upload it to a Web 2.0 application that accepts such files. Once uploaded, the attacker could simply change the file extension to something that looks harmless, such as .doc. When an unsuspecting user tries to open the file, they inadvertently launch a malicious web page. There are two reasons why this particular story caught my attention. First, this particular security hole has been around for 9 months, but was only recently fixed. Fortunately, the bug doesn't seem to have been exploited in the real world, although proof-of-concept programs do exist. The other reason why this particular story attracted my attention was because for so long, Firefox was touted as being far more secure than Internet Explorer. In recent months, though, there have been many security holes discovered in Firefox. This latest patch alone corrects 3 different security issues. Fortunately, the vast majority of Firefox users have their browsers configured to automatically download and install the latest security patches. Even so, these recently revealed security holes may cause some administrators to rethink Internet Explorer.
We also learned recently that there is a critical flaw in Apple QuickTime that affects both Windows and the Mac OS X operating systems. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
In case you aren't familiar with QuickTime, QuickTime is Apple's media playing software. It's installed on countless Windows and Macintosh machines, thanks in part to the popularity of Apple's iTunes. One thing that really makes this flaw worth mentioning is the sheer number of computers that are running QuickTime. Even if you don't allow users on your network to install iTunes, QuickTime may still be installed because there are so many third-party Windows applications that require it. The security hole allows an attacker to cause a buffer overflow that can be used for remote code execution. There are two ways that an attacker can accomplish this. One method involves an attacker sending an audio stream file that contains an overly long content type header. The other method involves listening for real-time streaming protocol requests and responding with malicious code containing arbitrary data, memory addresses, and executable code. The flaw was only discovered a few days ago, so it hasn't been thoroughly researched yet. The flaw is known to affect QuickTime Player's version 7.3 on both Windows and Macintosh OS X systems. It's not yet known whether or not other versions of QuickTime are affected, and at the current time, there's no fix available for the problem. Since a patch does not currently exist, Symantec is advising users to deploy a network intrusion detection system that monitors network traffic for malicious activity related to the real-time streaming protocol. Users are also advised to run applications as non-privileged users with minimal access rights. Doing so will limit the effectiveness of an attack using this exploit.
All right, great. Well, that's it for our podcast, recapping what's hot in the Windows security world for December 2007. I'd like to thank all of you for listening today, and of course, a very special thanks to our speaker, Brian Posey.